I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
I want to share a little resurrection verse with you before I get into my real message for the day. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And, you know, the whole of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, or let's say about half of it, or the second half of it, is a teaching about resurrection. You know, basically talks about the resurrection of the dead. And Apostle Paul takes his time to break it down, to explain what happens and how come people will rise from the dead and how Christ rose from the dead and so on and so forth. And then when you get to verse 56, which is towards the end, or rather let's start from verse 51, he says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." In other words, you know, the trumpet of the Lord will sound, and those who have been dead and buried, they will be raised incorruptible. That means they will rise up in a form that cannot be destroyed anymore by death, right? So they'll rise up in a form that cannot decay. That means they'll rise up in a form that's not this body you see, right? And then it says, "We shall be changed. For this corruptible," that is this body, "must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality," right? You know how sometimes you're going to a place and you just have to change what you're wearing, or you have to dress appropriately to tell where you're going. Sometimes you're going into a lab, or even sometimes when you're going to visit people at the hospital, especially people who have had babies or who have babies, premature born babies. You know, sometimes when you're going to see them, they require you to dress in a certain way in order to go there. So as we're going to heaven, we cannot bring this body there with us. And so it says, "Corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal body must put on immortality." That means you must now have a form that doesn't die. Okay? And it says in verse 54, "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, 'Death is swallowed up in victory.' O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law." So we'll be changed. We'll be changed, and this corruptible will put on incorruption, and then this mortal will put on immortality. And then at that point shall be, it says, the prophecy that death is swallowed up in victory will come to pass. And O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, you know, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus overcame all of this. Then verse 58, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Right. Now, this verse 58 is the conclusion of the teaching or the exposition on the subject of the resurrection. So the apostle, you know, makes his point. He goes through the various aspects of the teaching on the resurrection. Then he comes to a conclusion that what does it mean? I mean, what is the whole point of this teaching on resurrection? What is the whole point of Resurrection Sunday? What is the summary of it all? And the summary is what we find in verse 58, which is that, therefore, my beloved brethren, that means because of this truth, because of this teaching, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So the essence of the resurrection, in a sense, is to encourage us to abound in the work of the Lord, to do more for God, to do our best for the Lord, to work for the Lord, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That means always intensely and heavily involved in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You ask, what is the point? So what's the point of resurrection? The point of the resurrection today is to encourage you to do your best and to do more for God.
Wow. Because,
you know, that's the way it's going, okay? One day we'll all go to the Lord, and what will matter will be what we have accomplished for him while we were here. So I want to encourage everybody to get involved. Everybody, every Christian must be abounding in the work of the Lord. You must be involved in more than one thing for the Lord. You must be engaged in doing something for the Lord. Today, our churches are filled with many Christians who don't do anything. They just attend the church and go back home. Many Christians who even attend church can't wait for the service to be over for them to go do their own thing. Many Christians are not involved at all. But today, this Easter Sunday, I want you to take some time and read 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and then conclude with the Apostle Paul that you will now, from this year and from this Resurrection Sunday, begin to abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. There are many things that we do which end up being in vain, especially during this season with coronavirus. There are many things that are turning out to be in vain, you know, but in the Lord, our labor, the things we do for God, those will not be in vain. And believe it. If the Bible says it, believe it. You know, a time is going to come when you will find that some of the things that have eaten up your efforts, your time, your energy, some of the things that have mattered the most to you actually do not matter at all. Yesterday, I went out for a little walk in my neighborhood and I saw how everybody's car is parked in front of their homes. And I could just imagine it. I was just looking at it and saying, look, people have spent thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars and there's nowhere to go.
Wow.
Yeah, there's nowhere to go. You can't even go anywhere, you see. So if this can happen, then it's a message to us that a day is going to come when your labor, your efforts in other things will be in vain, except for what was done for the Lord. So get involved, do your best for God, and God will bless you. Say amen.
Amen.
Right.
Okay, so I'm continuing to share with you. I'm still talking about resurrection.
Amen.
Today I want to talk about your resurrection, okay?
Wow.
Kind of resurrection. Wow. And this resurrection is not a resurrection from the dead, but rather a resurrection from your bed. Okay.
What a shock.
I've been sharing, you know, I find it interesting, but I think you'll enjoy this message. Amen.
Amen.
So I've been sharing from the book Everything by Prayer, Nothing Without Prayer, right? And today we're sharing from chapter 13, which talks about how to pray at dawn. How to pray at dawn. How to pray at dawn. Now, praying at dawn requires a resurrection. Right? Yeah, it requires a resurrection. Now, Mark chapter 1 and from verse 34. Mark chapter 1 and from verse 34. The Bible says, "And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils and suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him." Right? Jesus healed many that were sick of divers diseases and cast out many devils. Because many diseases are caused by devils and demons, you know. And Jesus cast out many devils, and that also brought healing to many people, right? And it says he suffered not the devils to speak because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. Amen. So you see that the resurrection from the dead is not the first time Jesus is rising from something, right? But we can see that before he died, Jesus was able to resurrect at least from sleep, right? There are many of us who are not able to resurrect from sleep. We're not able to rise up from sleep. I mean, it's like we have to sleep till the sleep is done with us. You know, it's like the sleep leaves us, then we get up. Okay, but Jesus, he rose up, and just like his disciples followed after him, we who are his present day disciples must also follow after him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he rose up a great while before day, and he went out and departed into a solitary place where he prayed. Now, there are some of us who also are able to rise up a great while before day, but we don't do the next thing which he did, which was to get up and go somewhere to pray. And that often becomes our weakness, or that often becomes the reason why our prayer doesn't work. Because we rise up, but we don't rise up, you know. And so being in the same place, we keep fighting the battle with sleep, and eventually, or often, sleep wins. Okay. But I want to share with you very quickly today 7 reasons why you should pray at dawn. 7 reasons why it makes sense to pray at dawn. 7 reasons why praying early in the morning is good. Amen. Number one is that praying at dawn will help you develop one of the most important habits of your life. It'll help you to develop one of the most important habits of your life. Amen. Now, they say that people's destinies are decided by their habits. People's destinies craft their habits, you know, which means then that when you look at someone's life and you observe the things that have become a habit for the person, you can fairly accurately predict their destiny or their future. of how things are going to go for them, because the habits we have are deciding our future. They are forming our future. And one of the important habits that is a blessing is the habit of rising up to pray.
Wow.
A very important habit. Jesus also had habits. In fact, for Jesus, one of the habits he had was to go to church. On the Sabbath day, the Bible says Jesus went to church. You can find that in Luke chapter 14 and verse 16. Luke chapter 14 and verse 16. It says, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, okay, as his custom was. Did I say Luke 14 or Luke 4? Luke chapter 4, I'm sorry. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. Okay. So it says, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the Sabbath, went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. As his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. So you can see that Jesus did have a custom. He had a habit, and Jesus had a habit of going to church on the Sabbath day. And when he was there, he stood up to read. He participated in the service and did something in there. But the point I want you to notice in there is that Jesus formed habits. He formed habits. And I imagine that one of the habits is what we read about earlier, which is that he rose up early in the morning, a great while before day, and went out to pray. So if Jesus did it, it must be an important thing. And if you do it, it will also help you, right? Most of the time when you pray at dawn or early in the morning, first thing in the morning, you find that prayer happens. Prayer would happen, even if it's the busiest of days. You get it? Because the prayer beats the business of the day. The prayer occurs before the business of the day. And so no matter what happens, no matter how busy the day turns out to be, you'll find out that prayer has been taken care of, right? So it's an important habit. If you're going to be a prayerful Christian, you need to learn to cultivate this habit. Hallelujah. Amen. The second reason why praying at dawn is good is that praying at dawn will help you to read your Bible and grow in the Word. Praying at dawn will help you to read the Bible, will help you to read the Bible and grow in the Word. Now, that is also very important. It is very important for Christians to grow in the Word. In fact, the amount of Word in you as a Christian, amount of the Word of God you know, determines your survival or whether or not you survive in time of temptation, right? We can see how Jesus Christ went through temptations just like we do. And in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says or shows us how Jesus overcame temptation through the Word. You know, the devil took him. He says he answered and said, it is written. Now, before that verse, let's read from verse 2. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungered. In verse 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Well, now you ask, what is wrong with that? Because he was very hungry, and now the suggestion to turn stones into bread had come up. Well, it's not what is wrong with it. It is who is suggesting it. Who is suggesting it is what defines or should define your how you respond to even what seems good. This one was coming from the tempter, you know, and you know that the tempter is the devil, and the devil has no good suggestion. You know, every good suggestion or seemingly good suggestion from the devil has evil behind it, because he is the thief who cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He says he will not come unless he's coming to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And so when the devil offers you a suggestion to turn stones into bread, you should know that behind it, there is a plan to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That is always in the devil's plan, or he will not come. He will not come if he cannot steal, kill, or destroy. That is him, right? But I just want to show you, put the verse back. It says, and when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And then verse 4, and he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, right? So the Christian life, you know, does not depend on bread alone. You also need the word of God. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. A Christian who is not exposed to the word of God is half dead. You get it? Because according to that verse, it takes two things for a Christian to live, or even for man to live. Look at the verse again. It says, he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. This is from the creator of man, you know, like the creator of a car or the manufacturer of a car tells you that cars don't run only on fuel or gas, but you also need, let's say, engine oil or whatever else a car needs to run. Okay, so there's no amount of fuel you can put in your car to compensate for the absence of oil, you know, and there's no amount of oil you can put in your car to make the car ignore the fact that there is no fuel in it. You can be full on your gas tank. If there's no oil in the car, you're not going anywhere.
Wow.
You can be full on the oil. If there's no fuel, you're not going anywhere. So now, apply to man. It says, man shall not live. Man shall not live. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So that means then that if you spend all your time just occupied and busy with that which produces bread without paying attention to the word of God, then you're only half living, which is to be half dead.
Wow.
So most of us really are not living our fullest lives because our lives are full of bread, but we're missing the word of God. Do you see? And the reason why we don't read the word of God, oftentimes we are rushing out, we're running out of the house, we wake up too late. You know, we have to catch a class, we have to run quickly and go to the class. So many reasons, and that's because we don't rise up or resurrect from sleep
early
enough. And because of that, we don't get to read. But if you start praying at dawn, one of the opportunities it will give to you is the chance to read your Bible.
Wow.
You know, while you're up at dawn and while you're up early, you will have a chance while you're praying also to read the Bible. Amen. You see, and I'm saying that it will help you. It will help you in times of temptation, because put the verse back, put the scripture back, put the scripture back, and let's see. It will help you in time of temptation, because as Jesus was being tempted, you notice how he was quoting the scriptures. He said, it is written. It is written. It is written. This is Jesus himself telling us what is in the word. He said, it is written. Then look at the next temptation, verse 5. It says, and he saith unto him, all right, the devil taketh him up into the holy city. The devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple. He set Jesus on the pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands thou shalt bear, they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Okay. Now the devil has brought a second temptation where this time he's quoting the scripture. So he is now saying, it is written. Since you are into it is written, since you are into the Bible, and since you are into what the Bible says, okay, here is a verse.
Teaching.
Here is a verse that supports what I'm suggesting you do. Because many times the devil finds verses to give Christians and to give them an idea, something to do, and he backs it up with a verse. Do you see? Yes. And so many Christians who just obey or decide to live their lives in a very simplistic way, they just find one verse in the Bible and just base something on it, many times find out that it was the devil actually who was leading them after all, even though whatever was being suggested had something to do with the scripture. So here you can see the devil is suggesting that he should do this, something really stupid, which is to jump from the pinnacle of the temple and to jump down and from there to the ground. And he has given him a verse for it. You see, I mean, can you imagine it? He's giving you a verse for doing something silly. Jesus knew another verse. You see, Jesus knew another verse. So in verse 7, Jesus said unto him, it is written again. It is written again means I know more than one verse. Do you get it? It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. In other words, it is written that he shall give his angels charge over me. That's true. But it is also written that you must not tempt the Lord thy God. And that's how Jesus overcame the devil in this temptation also. Then in the next one, verse 8, because the devil is not finished with him. So verse 8. Leo, are you bringing verse 8? Verse 8. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And then verse 9, saith unto him, all these things I will give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. All these things I will give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. And then verse 10, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Right? So you can see, temptation after temptation after temptation, Jesus simply has to quote the word. He has to quote the Bible, the scriptures. He has to bring the word. And every time the devil heard the word, he left that temptation. Every time the devil heard that Jesus had a verse, he left that temptation. He left him. And so look at the verse 11. It says, then the devil leaveth him. And behold, angels came and ministered unto him. The devil left him, you know. And in another place, it says that he left him for a season. But at least he left him at this point. The temptation, you know, paused. And sometimes we need a break, isn't it? We need a break from being tempted. Do you get it? So that's what happened to Jesus Christ. So it is important for a Christian, if you're going to be a solid Christian, you need the word. You need the Bible. You need to read the Bible. And waking up at dawn is a good time to read the Bible. You know, not during the day when the coronavirus news has already started. Get it? Yeah. Sometimes you're reading the Bible and then you're also following the coronavirus news on the side. You know, it doesn't work. You don't even remember. You remember the corona stories more than you would remember the verses that you're reading. So it's important to do it early, first thing in the morning, like Jesus Christ, a great while before day. And when you do it, you find that the Bible becomes more meaningful. The verses stick with you. You remember them. And that's how you can develop and do well as a Christian. Say amen.
Amen.
Yes. Now, the next thing, the next one, number three, reason why praying at dawn is helpful is that it helps you to fight prayerlessness. Praying at dawn will help you to fight prayerlessness, right? Praying at dawn will help you to fight prayerlessness. Now, a Christian must be prayerful. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, the Bible says, Jesus spoke a parable unto them. Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. It says, he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that means to achieve this, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. I mean, it's presented as though the alternative to fainting is to pray. Do you see? And it seems then that if you are prayerless, then you will often find yourself fainting. You will often find yourself discouraged. But Jesus said, men ought always to pray, you know. And it's important when Jesus starts talking about man, you know, we need to pay attention because we're the manufacturer, the creator of man is speaking. The one who made us, who knows our composition, who knows what we are made of, who knows what we can withstand and what we can't withstand, who knows what we need to survive. The Bible says all things were made by him in the beginning. And it says, without him was not anything made that was made. That's in John chapter 1, right? That all things were made by him. And it says, without him was not anything made that was made. And you notice how in Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, you know, it says, let us make man. Let us make man. Let us make man. Let us make man. So Jesus was there when man was being made. And he knows the composition of humanity. And he knows what we can handle and what we can't handle. And he is saying that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. So our Creator knows that we need prayer to avoid fainting. Right?
Yeah.
We need to be able to pray. A Christian, a prayerless Christian, is a fainting Christian. right? Mm-hmm. We need to pray. We need prayer to become part of our lives. And that is a very important thing. So praying at dawn will help you to overcome prayerlessness. As you can see, the world is not designed to include prayer. That's why there are no prayer times at your workplace, right? There are no prayer times even at school. I mean, it used to be that people would pray at school, but they took prayer out of schools. It's like, we're too busy here to pray, you see. But men ought always to pray. Men ought always to pray. It shouldn't be that we wait for tragedy to make us prayerful. Often when there's some tragedy, when there's some problem, sometimes school shootings and so on that happen, then everybody becomes prayerful. Yeah. But it shouldn't take tragedy to make us prayerful. We're supposed to be prayerful, perhaps to even avoid the tragedy in the first place,
yeah,
right? So we are supposed to be prayerful. We need to pray. Men ought always to pray. That's how we've been made. We have not been made to survive and to continue to exist without our Maker. We need prayer. We need to pray. Hallelujah. There's another thing that prayer does for us, is that prayer will help us avoid temptation or certain temptations. You see, now many of us fall in the time of temptation because of our prayerlessness, you see. But perhaps if we prayed, that temptation may not even come our way in the first place. When Jesus taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer, one of the things he said to ask the Father is to lead us not into temptation. To lead us not into temptation. And in Luke chapter 22 and verse 40. Are you still following the message?
Yes, we are.
All right.
Yes.
So yeah,
Luke
here.
22. I'm just checking. Don't worry. I'm just checking. Right. So Luke chapter 22 and verse 40, it says, "And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation." Can you see that? He said, "Pray that ye enter not into temptation." Now, whether your praying is the preventer of the temptation, or that you are being given a prayer topic, that is, pray that you don't enter into temptation, either way, you notice that there is some correlation between prayer and temptation, you see. And the Bible is saying that if we pray, we will not enter into certain temptations. Now, when you follow the rest of the story, it says, "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed." You see, and what did he pray about? Verse 42, he prayed, he said, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me." This is Jesus asking God to abort the whole process of him dying, which is what brought our salvation. You see, he is obviously in a temptation. You see, Jesus is obviously in a temptation. It says, "And he kneeled down and he prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And verse 43 says, "And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. So it looks like his prayer saved the day. His prayer helped to guide him. His prayer helped him to endure and to survive the temptation. You see, now many times when people are in an accident, it is because they encountered something they didn't expect.
Yeah.
And they couldn't handle it. That's how come they got into an accident. And some of these accidents cost people their lives. Sometimes you're coming around a bend, you know, and here is something you were not expecting. You come around the bend too fast, the car skids or something like that, then you are experiencing a temptation. I mean, as long as everything is smooth on the freeway, nobody has an accident. But sometimes you're not expecting something. You come to an intersection, someone runs the red light, and then he's in your way suddenly. You apply your brakes, but it's too late, and you hit him. So it's a time of temptation, you see, and the temptation exposes you to danger, and it causes you to experience something that you might not have experienced if that temptation hadn't come your way. So it's the same thing. One of the ways to live a Christian life, a victorious Christian life, is to be able to avoid certain temptations. You get it? So as we drive up and down the roads, often we go and we come back, we go and we come back. It is not because we are the best of drivers, but it is often because certain temptations didn't come our way. Right? It's the same way with your Christian life. If certain temptations didn't come your way, you would be more victorious more often. Do you see? Wow. So we need to be able to avoid certain temptations. And Jesus taught us that the way to avoid temptation is to pray. You see, pray. He said, pray that ye enter not into temptation. So pray that you don't enter into a tempting situation. Don't enter into a temptation. A temptation for your temper, a temptation to say something you shouldn't be saying, a temptation to walk out of on your family, a temptation to fornicate, a temptation to indulge in the flesh, a temptation to do the things you know bring you down, which are not helping your Christian life. Okay. So praying will help you to overcome temptation. And a Christian who is prayerless is always exposed to many temptations, and we don't do well when these temptations come our way. But I pray that God will take you out of temptation and make you prayerful this Resurrection Sunday in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You pray, you will find out that God will strengthen you. When Jesus prayed, angels came to strengthen him. You know, it's many times, it's not so much that something happened, but more that we reacted wrongly to whatever happened. You see, and the wrong response, the way when you respond wrongly, often it leads to so many troubles and so many problems. You can respond wrongly to something your husband says. You can respond wrongly to something your wife says. You can respond wrongly even to something the boss says, you know, at work. You can just respond wrongly, the wrong response, because you lack strength. You don't have, you know, what Jesus had. Jesus was about to respond wrongly. He was feeling heavy. He was feeling unhappy, because it's not an easy thing to see death coming for you, you see. And his reaction was, I will avoid this. I won't do this. And if Jesus hadn't died for us, there would be no salvation. You and I wouldn't be in the service today. So it is very important that we pray. Prayer will help us to have the right responses, the right reactions in time of temptation. Amen.
Amen.
Right. Next one, number four. Praying at dawn will enable you fight shallowness. Praying at dawn will help you to fight shallowness. It will help you to develop roots, right? When you have no roots, you are more prone to fall away. It's as simple as that. Anything that has no roots, you know, anything that's set somewhere but which doesn't grip the ground or the floor, anything that has no roots is likely to be dislodged at the slightest pressure. Something will just move you out of your place. And many Christians are too shallow to do well when the storms of life hit them, right? Mark chapter 4 and verse 5. Mark chapter 4 and verse 5. It says, and some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. This is the parable of the sower. This is Jesus telling the parable of the sower. And he's saying that the sower sows the seed, which is the word of God. And he said, some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth, right? The seed fell on stony ground where it could not go deep. It couldn't develop deep roots because the ground was hard, stony ground. So it had not much earth. And even though it immediately sprang up, because it had no depth of earth, when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away, right? Now, later on, Jesus is explaining the meaning of the parable. And you see in verse 16 of Mark chapter 4, verse 16, he says, these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. That's the seed which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness and have no root in themselves and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended or affected, if you like. They are offended or they are affected, you know. It says it is because they have no root in themselves. You know, leave the verse there for a moment. It says they have no root. They have no root in themselves. And so they endure but for a time, right? They have no root, so they endure. They survive. They're Christians. They continue, but just for a time. It's for a season. Then afterward, later, affliction. Affliction means troubles or persecution. Persecution is what others say about you or what you have to suffer because of what you believe, which includes mockery, you know, people laughing at you, people calling you names, people telling you you are silly, people mocking your Christian life, you know, and people making you look silly. The devil is good at mocking believers. He is good at inspiring people to mock believers, laugh at believers, and make them look like idiots. Idiots for going to church, idiots for paying your tithe, idiots for giving offerings, idiots for spending time in prayer. Idiots makes you look silly, even going on outreach to evangelize and to speak the word of God to someone. You know, you're doing the right thing, and yet you are made to look like an idiot doing the right thing. You see, and it says, these things happen to people when they are persecuted for that reason, because their roots are not deep. You see, they are shallow. They are not able to endure. They survive it for a season, and then soon they feel more like, look, let me just be like one of them. You know, sometimes Christians at school undergo this type of treatment. They're exposed to this type of treatment. Chris, you find your schoolmates laughing at you. You find yourself looking odd. It's like you are an odd person among them. Your classmates, the coursemates, and people around, you know, because you don't participate in many of the things they do, you see, and you look like an odd person. And then soon you feel like compromising. You feel the pressure to be like them, pressure to do the same thing. Let me just, you know, comply. Let me just conform. You see, the Bible says we should not be conformed to this world. But sometimes the pressure is so strong, you just feel like, let me just do it. Let me just be like them. So they stop talking. So they stop calling me names. They stop laughing at me. But you see, the reason is because you are shallow. You see, your roots are not deep. When your roots are deep, you survive the winds. You survive the storms. Yes, you may bend a little bit, but you still stand. You know, you may find yourself tempted to yield to the pressure, but you just survive and you stand because you know what you believe. because your roots are deep, you know, and being prayerful will help you develop those roots. Praying at dawn will help you become that solid a Christian. You know, it's a hidden part of you, right? It says it is the hidden part of you that gives you strength in public. The part of you that no one sees, that's the part of you that gives you strength in public. When you take a tree that's standing, the part of the tree that gives us strength and stamina against the winds is the part that none of us sees, which is the part in the ground, the roots. That's how the tree survives. That's how come the winds are not able to blow the tree down and break it so easily, because it has roots. May God help you to develop roots as you make that commitment to begin to rise up, resurrect from your bed, and pray early in the morning. Amen.
Amen.
Right. Number five, praying at dawn will help you fight your lack of spirituality. Praying at dawn will help you fight your lack of spirituality. Right. Now, one of the things you need to know about Christianity is that after you are saved and after you have given your life to Christ, then you enter into a place where you begin to be categorized either as spiritual or unspiritual or carnal. Do you see? So 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1, you see an example there where Paul is saying here, he says, I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ, right? So it means another word for a baby in Christ is a carnal Christian, right? So you are either a spiritual Christian or you are a carnal Christian, right? You're either a spiritual Christian or a carnal Christian. Now, one of the reasons why it is not good to remain a carnal Christian is this verse right here in Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. This verse says, Romans chapter 8 and verse 6. This verse says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now, what that means is that the life and peace we find is in Christ is not found in a carnally minded Christian, right? We don't find the life and peace that is supposed to be found in Christ in the carnal Christian. That if you're carnally minded, you will not know the life and peace that Jesus offers, right? But rather, when you're spiritually minded, when you're a spiritual person who looks at things from a spiritual angle, who is a spiritual person, you know, you are the one who gets to experience the life and peace that is found in Jesus Christ. So it's important for you to go on after you are saved as a baby Christian. It's important for you to go on and to advance, develop into a spiritual Christian. Do you see? A spiritual Christian. Now, let me show you another verse that talks a little bit about this. Also, this verse is 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. This one says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Right? The natural man, that means a human being in his raw state, right? The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. that you don't receive, you can't receive the things of the Spirit of God because they are foolishness. They don't make sense. Do you see? And he says that there's foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. You can't tap into them because you need to be spiritual to discern them. He says they are spiritually discerned, right? So there are many things of the Spirit. There are many things that God would like us to have. Things of the Spirit like direction for your life, like wisdom for living, like understanding, you know. Many, these are all things of the Spirit. They are all things of the Spirit, which the natural man, being yourself, just you in the raw, your unprocessed self, cannot handle those things. You cannot tap into them because they are spiritually discerned. So if you're not a spiritual Christian, you cannot understand certain things. You cannot relate with certain instructions. And of course, you cannot receive direction and guidance from the Holy Spirit because you're not spiritual. You're just natural. You only understand natural things, or you only go by natural logic. If it makes sense to you, you do it. If it doesn't make sense to you, you don't do it. So you are cut off from the supernatural life. You are cut off from anything, you know, that happens outside the natural development of things. Remember, Proverbs 3:5 tells us to trust in the Lord with all our hearts. Then it says, do not lean on your own understanding. Do not lean on your own understanding. So if you're a person who just relies 100% on your understanding, then you're going to miss the point. So Christians are supposed to be receiving things of the Spirit also. Christians are supposed to receive things of the Spirit, not just things that make sense to you naturally.
Oh. You get it?
Like he's handsome, so he will make a good husband. No, that's not, it doesn't work like that.
Shabbat, yeah.
Or they're paying a lot of money, so this is the job I must have.
Yeah.
You get it? Yeah. The offer is good, so I must take it. The natural man will say, yes, take it. But perhaps the thing of the Spirit, the direction of the Spirit will be no, don't. Because even though it looks good, there's something else behind it. You see. Now you need to be a spiritual Christian to be able to receive such things or even be able to think in such ways, right? So the natural man cannot receive the things of the Spirit. That is why a Christian must be spiritual. You must be a spiritual Christian, not just a carnal Christian. You have to be a spiritual Christian. Then perhaps one more reason why you have to be spiritual is just to be able to understand and handle spiritual warfare. Because you know how the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, right? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. That's for Christians. You see, so our battles are not with flesh and blood. That means it's not with a human being, but against principalities and powers. Where are these principalities and powers? It says against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness. If you're not a spiritual person, you can't take on this fight. Because a fight that is in the realm of the Spirit needs to be fought in the realm of the Spirit by someone who can actually enter the realm of the Spirit to do that fight. And so you need to be a spiritual person. Don't be content to remain carnal, to remain natural, or remain a babe in Christ. These three words, natural, you know, carnal, or a babe in Christ, they are all the same, right? You need to be spiritual. God wants you to be a spiritual Christian. If you want to do well, you must be spiritual. Amen. And praying early in the morning will help you to accomplish that. Number six, Praying at dawn will help you to be ready for the battles of the day. Praying at dawn will help you to be ready for the battles of the day, right? Each day has its battles, and no one knows what battles they will be confronted with in any given day. But there are days, the Bible talks about such a thing as an evil day, right? In verse 13, we're just reading verse 12, Ephesians chapter 6. But look at verse 13. It says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand, right? So there is such a thing as the evil day. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand. Withstand means endure. It means survive in the evil day, you know? And having done all, that means when it's all over, you'll be left standing. Because there's no point in enduring a fight only to die after.
Oh. Right?
There's no point. Yeah. You need to be standing or to be affected so adversely by whatever challenge you met in the day. So it's important. When you pray before you go into the day, you know, you are prepared for whatever battles the day has for you. Sometimes you don't know. You rush into the day unprepared. You don't know what's going to happen at 12 o'clock. You don't know what's going to happen at 3 o'clock. You don't know what's waiting for you at 6 p.m. You don't know. But in an evil day doesn't give any notice. You know, you start the day, and as you go through the day, you suddenly realize this is not such a great day. I'm not having such a great day. So praying will help you, right? It will help you to be ready for the evil day, okay? It will help you to be ready for the evil day. And God will lift you up and empower you to overcome whatever has targeted you for that day. God will lift you up and empower you to overcome whatever that has targeted you for that day. So learn to rise up, resurrect, remember, and pray. Amen. Then the last one for today, praying at dawn will help you overcome ups and downs. Praying at dawn will help you overcome ups and downs. In other words, praying at dawn will help you to be consistent. You know, it will bring some consistency into your Christian life. You know, it is common that Christians experience ups and downs. And, you know, today things are good. Tomorrow they're backsliding. You know, today things are working. Tomorrow they're not working. Today they're up spiritually. Tomorrow they're falling. That's a very common characteristic of many people's Christian lives. But God wants us to be consistent. The earlier verse we read, 1 Corinthians 15:58, says we must be steadfast and unmovable. Steadfast. Steadfast means unchanging. It means we're always, you know, on point. Always on point. I mean, don't you wonder sometimes you look at certain Christians and they seem to be making it all the time, and you wonder if they ever have, you know, days of weakness. Do they ever have a day when they don't feel like going to church? Do they ever have a day when, you know, they feel defeated? Because they seem to be up all the time. Well, that's the quality the Bible refers to as being steadfast. Steadfast and unmovable. Not that things don't come up against such Christians, but that they can't easily be moved. You see, they can't easily be moved. And you notice that it has something to do with how busy they are also for the Lord. Mm. It says, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. In the person that you find always abounding in the work of the Lord, you will also often find the quality of being steadfast and unmovable.
Yeah.
Steadfast and unmovable. You see that they encounter difficulties. They encounter things. They hear bad news. They also, you know, sometimes lose their job. You know, they have a miscarriage. They're having marital difficulties. So many of the battles, the normal battles of life, also affect such people. But you find they're able to pull through and sometimes bring others along with them. You know, they're able to bring others along with them. And that is because they have learned the secret of consistency in the faith. They have learned the secret of staying strong and remaining consistent in the Lord. So, my dear friends, I want to encourage you. These are seven reasons I've given you for rising up. Rising up. Jesus, on this resurrection day, is not asking you to rise from the dead. He knows you can't. So he's not asking you to do that. You get it? But one thing God is counting on you to be able to do is to rise up from your bed.
Amen.
That you will be able to rise up. You know, if you're like me, sometimes you set the alarm, you know, and the alarm, and you're just wondering, what is this about? You get it? The alarm goes and you can't seem to connect it to anything. It's like, why is this alarm making so much noise at this time?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. But one of the reasons is also because we don't go to bed early.
The practical
thing is to go to bed early. You know, and I have learned that secret that when I don't go to bed early, it is really hard for me to wake up. You see, that's when I have that battle with the alarm. You'll be ringing and I'm just wondering, what's going on? You know, I mean, why is this thing ringing? I can't connect it to anything, you know. And then sometimes I take it and then I change the time. And I take it and I change the time. And I take it and I change the time. You see, I'm just wrestling and struggling. You get it. But when I find myself staying up late, then I decide to stay up later. You get it? So I just stay up and pray before I go to bed. Then I know that I don't give myself any rising up. Are you understanding it?
Yeah.
So you can also do that. You can pray very early hours of the morning. I'm talking 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. These are good prayer times. You will not be disturbed by anyone. All the people who call you are sleeping, right? All the people who send you text messages are sleeping. All the people who will send you all those jokes on WhatsApp, they are asleep. Everyone is sleeping and you are able to have good quality time, even if it's short, good quality time with the Lord. I mean, the prophet has given us 120-hour assignment for your life, 120 hours for your destiny. You can't accomplish these prayer targets or milestones during the day. No, way too much happens during the day for you to be able to do that. Some of you are mothers of small children who are running around during the day. You can't even pray. You'll be praying and they'll come and pull your hair and just say, "Mommy." You just have to hold your hair like that and run after that, you know. So I want to encourage you, learn the art of staying up when they are asleep, right? Staying up when little children have gone to bed. Staying up when all the distractions have calmed down and settled down. And you will enjoy it. You will enjoy the intimacy. You will enjoy just being up with God alone, praying, reading the Bible, listening to a message. It will be such a blessing to your life and it will transform your Christian life if you're able to do that consistently. If Jesus did it, it must be the right thing to do. And so I want to encourage you to do that. This is Resurrection Sunday. Mm-hmm. And your challenge is to resurrect from your bed. From tonight, when you go to the, before you fall asleep, look at the bed and say, "When I lie on you, I will resurrect. I will rise again. I will lay me down and I will arise from this bed again in Jesus' name. Amen." God bless you. I believe You're blessed. Okay. Now let's pray. Let's pray. Bow your heads with me, everybody, and take just a few moments and pray about waking up early to pray. Ask God to help you. Just pray a very specific prayer and say, Lord, I know you can help me. Maybe you're not so good at waking up early. But talk to the Lord and say, Lord, today I'm asking you to help me. I can see the benefits. I can see the advantages. I can see that Jesus did it. If Jesus did it, then I'd like to do it too. As a follower, as a disciple of Jesus. The disciples of Jesus, Peter, James, and John, they followed Jesus to do the same. They followed him. When he woke up early in the morning to go and pray, they also woke up to go and pray. They said, if the master is doing it, it must be good for us. So they did it too. And I want to encourage you to do it. But you know, the Bible says it is God who works in us both to will and to do of his pleasure. God will help you. Ask him for his help. Don't assume you can do it. Don't just take it on and say, I will do it. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. So even to do the things God wants us to do, we need his help. So pray and ask him for his help. Right there on Facebook, right there on Zoom, just ask the Lord. God is hearing your prayer. God is hearing your prayer. In your room, in your home, wherever you are, God is hearing your prayer. Ask him. Say, Lord, I want to be prayerful. I want to develop some roots. I want to move away from shallowness. I want to move away from being carnal and being natural to a spiritual state. I want to be a spiritual person. I want to be someone who has faith in spiritual things and in your direction and in your guidance. That's what I want to do, though. So help me in the name of Jesus. Ask God to help you in the areas. In Jesus' name. Father, we are thanking you today for your word. Thank you for teaching us the advantages and the benefits, the reasons. That's where you come in. And your help to be able to do this, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We don't just want to talk about it. We want to be doers of the word. We want to be doers of what we are hearing. In the name of Jesus, help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen.
Amen.
Now, before we close the service, I want to give you an opportunity on this Resurrection Sunday. If you are watching us online and you know in your heart that you're not saved, you have never asked Jesus to come into your heart to forgive your sins. You know that you are a sinner, but you have not confessed your sins to the Lord. You have not asked Jesus to save you. Jesus came to die for us, but you need to ask him to come into your heart to forgive you. You need to ask him. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, then he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But that's if we confess our sins. So we make the first move. We make the first move. And that move is to ask Jesus to come into your life or come into your heart. There may be some of you who have also said this prayer before, but you have not followed through with it. You have not been serious. You have not been committed to it. And now there's virtually no difference between you after that prayer and before that prayer. But I want to give you another chance. God will help you put things right. God will help you fix it. God will help you and restore you. So I want you to join me as we all say this prayer together. Everybody say this prayer. Wherever you are, say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I thank you for dying for me.
Thank you for dying.
Say, today is Easter Sunday. And I know you rose from the dead.
And I know you rose from the dead.
To defeat sin and death.
To defeat sin and death.
So, Lord Jesus.
So, Lord Jesus.
I invite you into my heart.
I invite you into my heart.
I know I'm a sinner.
I know I'm a sinner.
And I need you to forgive my sins.
And I need you to forgive my sins.
Please, Lord Jesus.
Please, Lord Jesus.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
Forgive my sins, Lord.
Forgive my sins.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood wash me.
Let your blood cleanse me.
Let your blood cleanse me.
And make me a child of God.
And make me a child of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
For hearing my prayer.
For hearing my prayer.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Amen. If you said that prayer and you meant it, then I want you to know that Jesus has come into your heart. You are saved. You are no longer the same. And if you send us a message right there on our Facebook page or wherever you're watching this, if you just send us a message right there, someone will reach out to you. If you're on Zoom, you can just send a message and someone will reach out to you and help you find your feet and help you develop roots and get established in Christ and in the things of God. Amen. Now it's time for communion. It's time to have communion. And so if you don't have a piece of bread and a little wine or juice, you know, whatever you can find, you can just go grab one right now. If you can just find just a little piece of bread, small biscuit, something that can represent the body of Jesus Christ. Some bread, some biscuit, and some wine. And we're going to have a powerful time of with the prophets right now. Amen. So bring it. Right. Can I see everybody? Let's see. Okay. Right. Everybody has their bread. If you have your, I can see you. Hello. I can see you. Okay. Right. Now I'm assuming everybody has gone to get their bread. And everybody has got their drink. Okay. Today is Resurrection Sunday. I tell
Amen.
You.
Amen.
And we Hallelujah. Will all rise. Everyone who has resurrection issues will overcome it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
It's the best day for this message. Amen. Right.
Amen.
Okay. So we're going to go over to the First Love Center and join Bishop Dag as he prays for us and as we have our wonderful communion time with him today. Okay, so Dennis, take us to the First Love Center and let's have this communion. Yeah.
You hope it will give you life when I see the love. Yeah. I will pass over you.
Take your breath when I see the love.
When I see the blood, I will pass over you. God called prophet Elijah, sent him on a long journey for 40 days and 40 nights.
Take your bread and lift it up.
Elijah needed to
your rooms, your houses.
Take this meal and eat.
It
will will sustain you for 40 days and for 40 nights.
It will sustain you.
That meal was the blessing that
supernatural meals
Elijah needed.
Supernatural.
When I see the blood,
when I see the blood,
I will pass over you.
Father, thank you. Jesus broke the bread and he said, take it, this is my body which is broken for you. Thank you that because of the broken body of Jesus, our bodies will not be broken.
Amen.
And disease will not be able to attach itself to us. I pray for everyone worldwide. Lord, thank you that the corona disease will not break our lives,
Amen.
Break our families,
Amen.
Break our destinies.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, we will live and fulfill the call of God that is on our lives. We will finish what we are called to do. Because of the broken body of Jesus that we receive today, this is now the body of Jesus Christ. Whatever could not be found in the body of Jesus, just as Jesus could not be admitted in any hospital, we declare that as we receive this communion, we cannot be admitted at any hospital. We cannot imagine Jesus Christ on a ventilator, and therefore we believe that we will never be on any ventilator in Jesus' name. Just as we cannot imagine Jesus gasping for his very life and dying in front in a hospital on a drip, we shall not die in any hospital on any drip.
Amen.
By the power of God, by our prayers which we are praying to you, Father, deliver us from evil as we receive the body of Jesus Christ. Whatever cannot be found in Jesus cannot be found in us too. We receive this supernatural meal today. It will sustain us. It will carry us for more than 40 days and nights. It will give us life. It will give us healing. It will give us health. The manifestation of the cross will be apparent on our lives. We thank you, Father, for the body of Jesus Christ. The body of Jesus. Now take your wine. If you don't have wine, just take any drink, Coca-Cola, anything you have in the house, water. Father, we lift this up and we declare this is now the blood of Jesus Christ. Whatever represents your mistakes, your serpent seed nature, your wickedness, your harmfulness, your evil smell and scent, may the blood of Jesus wash and cleanse you. May we be cleansed, forgiven for our mistakes. On this Resurrection Sunday, every watching, everywhere, thank you for power. When I see the blood, I will pass over. Thank you that the pandemic will pass over and we'll still be there.
Amen.
Thank you that it will be over and we'll be standing strong to serve you. No evil shall come nigh our dwelling place. 1,000 shall fall by our side and 10,000 by our right hand. But it will not happen to us. We declare our faith openly, confidently, before your throne. We thank you for such a great covering, that as the angel of death passes through the nations of the world, when this blood is seen, it's a seal, and we shall escape because of the blood. May the blood of Jesus cover you and deliver you from the angel of this pandemic, from the death angel and the wickedness that walketh by day and by night. In the name of he who died and rose up triumphantly after 3 days, the blood of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. The blood of Jesus. Now lift your hands for your blessing. Every house, everywhere. Kamba sando shkenimando. Trembele zimo marakatali bendele bendele. Receive a surprise turnaround in your life. Receive a surprise financial fortune in your life right now. Receive a surprise favor in your life. As the Israelites escape in the pandemics and epidemics, in the days of Moses, you shall escape. You shall find freedom and deliverance. I prophesy over your job and your future financial situation. And I say, you are declared stable. You are declared okay. You are declared to be a survivor of every economic holocaust that is coming upon the earth. In the name of Jesus, from America to England to Ghana to Nigeria to South Africa, wherever, you are going to experience the strange acts of God. The strange, amazing deliverances of the Lord. Amen. Let it be your portion in the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, let the angel of the Lord visit every house and stand encamping in every dwelling place of all your children. Let no dark shadow enter any house. Let no death spirit, let no coffin come near our houses. Let no funeral be associated with any family here. We shall not bury any of our children or grandchildren in the name of Jesus Christ. We shall not see dark and evil days in the name of Jesus. May you be exempted. May you be excluded from wickedness that is walking all over the place. In Jesus' name, any virus that is coming in the air toward you is blocked in Jesus' name. We block it. Any unwise meeting or interaction that will transmit anything to you, we cancel that appointment right now and say it cannot happen. Every unfortunate interaction and contraction of any disease, we cancel that appointment now in the name of Jesus Christ. Be set free, be delivered, be exempted, be free in the name of Jesus Christ. Now put your hand on your body. Receive healing from any disease, strange disease, any wickedness in the name of Jesus in your body. I curse it and I say, die now. Anything that is growing in you that you don't know about, I rebuke it and I say, grow no more. Any cancer, any plague, any virus, any bacteria, any parasite, any connective tissue disorder, any autoimmune disease, any surgical condition or medical condition that is growing in you, any psychological or psychiatric condition in you, I rebuke them now in Jesus' name. And I say, be free. May the Lord lift your feet out of the miry clay. I rebuke the power of fear that is in the world. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I rebuke the pandemic. I rebuke the virus. I say, go back. Go back. Go back to where you came from. In the name of Jesus. I declare the pandemic is finished. We are free from this pandemic in the name of Jesus. Ah, Matoko Bala. When the list of survivors is being put together, your name will be among the list of the survivors. When the list of those who died during the pandemic is being put together, your name will never be among that list in the name of Jesus Christ. When the list of those whose finances went into the red, into darkness, into difficulty, is being organized, you'll never be in that list in Jesus' name. When the list of those who went higher in spite of the pandemic is being put together, you'll be in that list this pandemic will work out for your good. All things work together for good to them that love God. Father, remember our love for you.
Yes.
And let things work together for good. We pray for it. We ask for it.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. Let it turn around. Let it turn around. Let it turn around for good. I pray for my children. I pray for all my children all over the world. Cover them by your angel. Cover them with superior and supernatural angels. Higher angels with rainbows over their shoulders, Lord. Give them angelic support and angelic protection in every continent, in every country. Oh my God, let your angel be with your children. Send angels from heaven. Take away the fear. Take away the darkness. Take away the pandemic, Lord. And grant us deliverance. We pray because we believe in you. Our eyes are on you. We trust and believe that you can help us in this situation. And that's why we ask you today. And we thank you that we receive divine protection. Instead of going down, we are going to go up. Instead of reducing, we are going to increase. We give you thanks in the name of Jesus. Now, put your hand on your heart. Sow to yourself in righteousness and reap in mercy. May this pandemic turn out for you to sow to yourself in righteousness and reap mercy. May you be one of the great receivers of the word of God in this season. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. It shall be said of you,
amen,
after this pandemic, what manner of man or woman is this? Receive it in the name of Jesus. What manner of man or woman is this? In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Wow, what a powerful prayer. Amen.
Amen.
I believe it's a blessing to be prayed for. Amen.
Amen.
An anointed person. And we thank God for such a prayer.